Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Weekend here on Planet FM. If you listen on 104.6 FM in the Auckland area or on planetaudio.org, wherever you are in the country, wherever you are in this world, we hope you enjoy the show. Before we go any further, a big shout out to Father Ted's Original Irish Pub. They're based at 1 Wellesley Street West in the Auckland CBD. They have a selection of local craft and international draft beers on tap. Selection of bottled beers, fine wines, good spirits, great food and music Wednesday night through to Saturday night. So make Father Ted's your location to go to. Their number is 09-377-3142, or you can email them fatherteds@hotmail.com. Well, big weekend. It's been a big weekend of sports here in the 09, and of course a big weekend of rugby. Here to join us, as he joins us every Saturday, former All Black AJ Whetton. Good morning, AJ.
Yes, good morning to you, Piggy, and not a bit of a gloomy day here, but my word, we got some rugby this weekend. we'll be staring at that bloody screen from day one right through to end of Sunday. So, big weekend of footy.
Well, I'll tell you what, and of course, tomorrow morning, 9:10, the All Blacks versus Argentina. And you know what? I love these morning tests. I think they're absolutely brilliant. Get the bacon and eggs out. I shouldn't really say bacon and eggs with a name like Piggy, but I enjoy it. You sit back and you watch it, and it's just great. It's perfect timing. But I'm looking at this All Black squad, as we just said off here. It's a settled squad. You know, Scott Robinson isn't conservative enough to know what a winning formula is. De Groot is back. Scotty Barrett's back. He's going to start off with the injuries to Roy Gard and Hopham. Ratama starts. But the RGs, they will prove an interesting prospect, AJ.
Well, you mentioned an early start tomorrow. My daughter, she, general manager, runs down the Paddington, so she's got about 100 people already booked, so international rugby is alive.
She doesn't have to put up with those bores from University Rugby Club. You know the guys.
Well, she'll be down there early setting up, mentioned food. It looks like you could probably miss a couple of meals. But anyway, you mentioned about the team. He's gone for a bit of a traditional lineup here experience, and I think that's paying respect to Argentina. Our record with Argentina has been up and down, as you know. They have beaten us at home, beaten us away, so utmost respect for them when playing in front of their ferocious crowd. So, De Groot, Taylor Newell, very steady. Barrett back, so that'll be interesting to see how his fitness is. Fabian Holland there, of course, settled the back row. Griffey, good to see him get a start.
Yeah.
And this will really see and test him. I think I'm keen to see his mobility, not the biggest, obviously, loose forward on the pitch, but maybe his mobility and accuracy on that ball at ruck time will play dividends. Ratama there, and of course, Jordan Ione, pretty settled, and the Barrett brothers in the boot. So, very settled side, one with a lot of experience and paying respect to an Argentinian side. That, of course, will be led by their Montoya number two, who seems to be around for ages.
He's fantastic.
And great leader at home. And, of course, you know, respect to them, their back row. I mean, when anyone has got Pablo Matera there, he's a menace with Oviedo and Crema. They've got a very experienced back row there. Let's see how it tries to upset the All Black pack, any loose ball, and Garcia at number nine to see how it goes there and gets this back line alight, because they do have some talent, they do have some speed, but will they get enough ball? Let's just wait and see.
Absolutely. And, of course, then, before that, a fantastic curtain raiser in the rugby championship. South Africa versus the Wallabies. Now, I look at the South African side, Ibanez, Marks, Detroit, Khaleesi. You look at that back line. And, of course, you know, for Australia at altitude, this is going to be tough. James O'Connor, probably at the beginning of this year, would not expect to be playing in a test against the Springboks at first 5-8, likely to play 80 minutes because the Australians have gone for a 6-2 split on the bench.
Yes, the Rugby Championship really coming alive now with the big guns all out. James O'Connor, obviously replacing the boy Liner. His season with the Crusaders proving or providing dividends for him. A cool head experience. But coming up against a formidable South African team, you mentioned Kelisi. I mean, he's just unbelievable. A great Detroit that he's been around, and one of the biggest number sevens. But they've been in the big guns in the front row. That's what I'm looking at. Old Lowe, Marks, and Nish there. Espit's got his back with the Lou de Jagur, the big meaty second row. It's very intimidating, and as we know, they have some very exciting black backs out there in Vandermeer, Creole, Ares, and Zay, Fussy. So, look, it could be a blowout, but at Emirates Airline Park in Joburg, they're really going to have to step up big time playing the South Africans here at home. So, look, I'm saying it's not going to be close, put it this way, and South Africans to win, I think, quite comfortably.
Absolutely, of course. Then we go to the MPC. What a game last night, AJ. Southland 29, Manawatu 22. Manawatu got off to a flyer. Nani Naolapi was just about tackling everything, and he looked brilliant. And I think for Moana Pacifica, that's a really good buy. But Taliloa and Shearer really led that fantastic Southland revival. Michael Manson on the wing. I can tell you something, this guy's got some wheels.
Well, and it proved very beneficial. You thought it was all over, Rover, 22-0. I mean, they were playing some very good football, Manawa, too. Don't forget, they've had a tough 2 or 3 years, so they're showing a bit of spine at the moment under their new coaching team there. And I thought, well, if they score again, it's all over. But, boy, hats up to Southland. I don't know what they did at half-time with those spates. They might have put a bit in the water bottles, but they came out firing, led by their skipper, Withy. And they got back. And Dunshear, he always gives a full 80. He's a mountain of a man down there in the Fosterg country. But I tell you what, they'll be wondering how this one got away for them, especially in the first half, with Joan and Cameron with Lamapi just leading the troops, scoring some good tries. That's IOC number 8. He's a big lad. He never gives up. So, but they'll be ruining it. It'll be would have been a tough trip back home here probably this morning, realising they let that one slip away and how vital it will be later on in the season.
Yeah, well, you're talking about spates in the water bottle. There is no spates in my water bottle. Maybe if I had some, it might be a better show, but we move on.
I'm not going to answer that one.
No, please don't. Anyway, we look at today's Saturday games, the 2:05 game, some crackers. Bay of Plenty versus Canterbury, Northland versus Tasman. Well, that Bay of Plenty Canterbury, that game is going to be a cracker. Bay of Plenty lost a few players to the All Blacks, but oh, I think this has probably one of the best games of the round.
Oh, yeah, well, they're both unbeaten, so someone's going to drop some points, which even makes the competition much more exciting, because really it's just one of those great NPC seasons where you're just not quite sure what's going to happen at full time. So Bay of Plenty at home versus a very resurgent Canterbury. I see the boy Christie, of course, is signed with Newcastle, so that was some news in the old red and black camp. But look, I'm going to pick the Bay, even though they've lost a couple. Judd and Cashmore, the combinations there at half and 10. You've got the big boys, Arcoy, Paia in the second row for Bay of Plenty. And look, it's just going to be one of those games. Yeah, probably the pick of the round. Christie, Kello, Barnes, nice white. The Spurs five for Canterbury with Chapman, nice combination going. And anyone that has Eno at centre, I mean, he's been around for a while too. So look, it's going to be a real humdinger. But I'll pick the Bay. Playing at Rotorua, I'm sure they'll maybe pick up the points today.
And then also at the same time in Whangarei, it's Northland versus Tasman. I look at this game, AJ, and I just think that Tasman may be coming right at this stage.
Well, they got there, certainly come up into their first match of the round and bounced back nicely. Obviously got some big timber out wide. I think the Taniwha up there, after their win over Southland, give them some confidence. They'll always sort of go in as the underdogs. I wouldn't write them off there. That'll say that win give them some good confidence. But playing with against the Tasman team that seems to have found their rhythm, Drummond, Mitch Drummond at number 9. I mean, well, we know how good he is with Havili and Amua there. Very, very strong. Whanganuku, I mean, Springer, Havili at the boot. So it's a damn good Tasman side out wide. I guess it'll be depend on the quality of the ball, how dominant they are early, because the longer you leave North Auckland in the match, the more dangerous they become. So I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think.
Then we go Auckland, Taranaki. Well, I'm going to be – this is another good game, and I think this one's hard to pick. I'm going to pick the Blue and Whites in this one. But Taranaki, they are a very, very good side. But Auckland need this, really needs this win for its for the confidence of the squad.
Yeah, you've summed it up. It's a must win from my point of view. Look, can't commend Auckland enough and their fight and their determination, but it's about just turning those narrow losses into wins. Taranaki, very experienced, obviously shield holders, unbeaten of their two from two, so I'm really looking for some of the big guys to step up to Arvo, bringing his experience. I see they brought in Cowley, Andre in the front row, number one. Signer's moved to number eight. They put Tepini at number seven. But Finaki and Harford have really got to get that combination going and lead the team around the field. Just make some very, very mindful decisions with putting the boys in play, because any ball they get in an attacking position, they've got to score. They've seemed to just go off that boil that last 10 minutes or so, and it's been very costly. So big boys up front for the Naki again. Slater at number two, he'll give everything. And I see Boshi is there, Palico Loft in the loose forwards. That Terra Cat Crowley at number nine. So with Jacob, that's a very lethal combination. So the favourite would probably be the Bulls on paper, but at home, the Blue and White, I'll be out there, and it's a must win. So I'm going to pick the Blue and White, not by much, but it'll be enough.
Yep, I think it will be the Blue and Whites today. Anyway, the last game of Saturday is Hawke's Bay versus North Harbour.
Well, yeah. Hawke's Bay.
Yeah, it's easy. That's just too easy.
Yeah, too much to do for Harbour. I don't know where they go from here. But playing at home, Napier, Hawke's Bay, two from two. Just a very, very consistent team that week in, week out. So, yeah, Hawke's Bay all the way.
Absolutely. So then we move on to the Sunday games. That's Wellington versus Otago. And in the later 4:35 game, it's Waikato versus Counties Manukau. First of all, Wellington-Otago. Wellington had a good win last week away from home. And, you know, that back line looks good. Julian Sevier at second 5'8" has been a revelation.
Yeah, he's just brought some solidity there. Big man. I mean, he's a big man to pull down. So he draws in at least one to 10 defenders. It gives a bit of space to Proctor out there. And the back line, they got some pace with Clark and Mayava. But, yep, it'll be run there by the 9 and 10, Garden Bishop. He'll be doing his usual kicking to the corners, getting them to position. Shields is back at the starting 15 with the lady. So, yep, just too much, I think, big guys up front playing at home. And I think Wellington could be on their way back after that early opening round where they would look badly out of play. So, yeah, I'm picking them to beat Otago at home.
Anyway, okay, so then we've got Waikato versus Counties Manukau.
Yep, tough one again. A bit like North Harbour, aren't they? Counties really need to start stepping up. They've got some work to do, and Waikato at home, but they got beaten last week. So, look, this could be interesting. This could turn around Harbour, and counties. It'll be an open affair. Obviously, you've got a pretty settled team in Xavier Rowe there. I see Cook Savage is playing the number 10 jersey. So, look, at home, I'm going to pick the Mooley boys to be too strong for counties.
Okay, so we look forward to another weekend of rugby. Looking forward to that All Blacks game, mate. What else are you up to over the weekend?
Well, I'll be out there. We've got the first 1B final at Eden Park, and great to see those boys. And then, of course, Kings versus St Kentigans. Unfortunately, Grammar, they drew 32-all the first try. No overtime in these secondary school boys because it's too damaging to them. So, anyway, disappointing to see Grammar not in the final, but it'll be a humbling. They'll have a huge crowd out there. Great rugby supporters. It's traditional secondary schools. You can't get bigger than that, and it'll be a great atmosphere, so I'll be out to see that. And then, of course, my beloved Blue and White, Auckland, hopefully deal to the Fernando the Bull, the old Taranaki. So a busy day. And no doubt I'll be catching up with a few of my old friends, I say.
Yeah, haven't got many of them, but yeah.
Two or three. And yeah, looking forward to a big afternoon of footy.
Yeah, well, you'll probably have a big crowd afterwards in the Barbarians Lounge as well, too, so.
No, that's right, and I've just got another text here, not only from Fenton Little, but Piggy, another one in Tigger, but there's someone else there called Birdie. Birdie May, they've texted in to say, Alan, we're joining the ride because it's so entertaining. And tell that fella just to keep on going the way you are, because you're doing a good job.
Well, many would have a different opinion, but AJ, thank you so much. And there wasn't even a mention of height, so no. We'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it there. It's not about the height, I tell you. You take it easy, fella. Walk tall.
Goodbye. AJ Wheaton, fantastic. He is just a good sort. So next up, we're going to talk a bit of a Farrah Palmer Cup with Stephen Harris. I'll just put on a bit of music. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender, and a big shout out to Force Electrical. At Force Electrical, they are a team of experienced professionals dedicated to providing high quality electrical services for both residential and commercial clients. With over 10 years of experience, they pride themselves in being reliable and thorough and taking care and ensuring that their clients' needs are met in a timely and efficient manner. So give Force Electrical a call. Their number is 021-628-341, or you can give Nick at forceelectrical.co.nz an email. Anyway, it's a big weekend of Farrah Palmer Cup, and of course next week it all starts the Women's Rugby World Cup, and here to join us, as he does every Saturday, he's going to be a very busy man for the next few weeks, Stephen Harris. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Amon, and good morning to your listeners out there. Once again, always a privilege and a pleasure to be on your show. Never a chore.
Oh, I just love that, Stephen. I absolutely love it. Well, we're going to kick it off this Saturday, Farrah Palmer Cup. Bay of Plenty really took a bit of a bath from County's Manukau. And, of course, they're at home against the Manawatu Cyclopes. And I look at this match and I just, between me and you, I think, you know, you'd have to go for Manawatu on this one.
I think so, just based on some of those scores last week out of Bay of Plenty. We're very, very disappointed. I know it's a very good County Manukau Heat team, but to be honest, they were literally blown off the paddock. The Cyclones showed a little bit more fight against Canterbury. Canterbury last weekend, you know, they leaked about 20-odd points, but there's a yellow card just after half-time, and that just basically gave Canterbury that momentum again. I think this game is important for both teams. I sense whoever loses today's game might be looking at promotion relegation. I know it's early in the piece, dead in the eye.
I think so too, Stephen. I think it's pretty much as there is a difference between the top tier and the other tiers in this premiership round. Also in the we go to the championship, and at 2:05 we have North Harbour Hibiscus versus Taranaki. Now I believe this is going to be on Sky's online platform.
Yep, it's on a online platform. If you jump onto the Farrah Palmer Cup website and navigate your basically look for team namings or round two team lists, you'll see a streaming link threats attached to that particular game, so you can certainly have a quick look. As you're aware, there's a couple of other games on at the time that Sky will be covering.
Just on that, who's the commentator for that game?
Maybe this guy, yours truly.
Well, congratulations, Stephen. Well deserved, mate. You are a tremendous commentator. I can tell you this. I've done some work with you and your knowledge, but just the way you can call a game is fantastic. And
listen, I really appreciate that. Well, it's a big day over at Harbour Stadium. Hopefully the weather or the precipitation that's coming our way keeps the way, and it's raining up in Tongaroa, but it's the start of a doubleheader, of course, at 12 p.m. the North Harbour Secondary Schools final between Westlake Boys and Whangarei Boys. Once again, that game is on a live stream. Westlake Boys live stream, and also that will be covered by Sky as well. So that's 12 o'clock.
Yes, just on this game, the Hibiscus. I think this will just be, they'll just be too good for Taranaki.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, that wasn't a bad first up performance by the Pure. Somebody out there said that'd be worth a bet. I don't know where that guy's gone, but don't ever listen to him again. if you are betting, bet responsibly. An improved performance by the Pure, but the Kauri were far too good at the end. But I did tune into the Hibiscus Spirit game on Sunday, and I got to say, gee, what an absolutely fantastic game.
Yeah, it was a fantastic game.
That was to watch. The ball movement was just next level. And, boy, this is a real improving Harbour side, ably led by Averly Hercevic in the midfield. But, boy, I wasn't half impressed by Margaret Y, one of the locks, who was basically running around. You could have easily stuck a third end on her back with some of the footwork she was displaying. And young Ella Henderson on debut at 10. They've got some really good players coming through, and I just think they might be a little bit much for an inexperienced team. Pariake O'Brien, skippering the field side today, and she had a two-year hiatus, so she played her first game back last week in 2 years. A little bit of improvement, but a lot of inexperience, as there is in the Harbour side. But I'm just liking the style of football they're playing with Ali Harrison at the back. Yeah, I think they'll be too strong for the field today.
And then we go to another game in the Championship. Up north in Whangarei, Northland Kauri versus Tasman.
Yeah, they surprised me. Some really good performances from a few new players who bounced on the scene. They still got this experience in their team with Hikatia Wikaira, who's number 8, gives them a lot of go forward, and of course Trish Bucker, who's the most experienced player in the team. And I see Crystal Murray returning to the side today, so that'll be a great pickup for the team. They've also got the very experienced Stacey Tupe at 12 and Alia McCarthy in the centres, one to watch moving forward. Not an ideal start for Tasman last week, up against probably the team that's the favourite to take the championship, Wellington, going down 39-7. But on this occasion, I think the Kauri will be far too strong at home. And once again, double header in Whangarei. And that's actually the main game after the Marco Taniwha game, which it took. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, we have Hawke's Bay Tui versus Canterbury, and I think Canterbury far too good here, Stephen.
Yeah, I think so. As previously stated, far too good for the Cyclones before, but I think Canterbury on this occasion, they've still got a little bit of experience. I'm just sort of thinking, is this the Tui's first game of the season? Yes, it is. I don't think we've seen them start. Of course, 7 teams in that premiership table. So, yeah, Canterbury, they got out of the block strong. They would have gained a lot of confidence from that performance. And Poppy Baxter, she's the daughter of Northland assistant coach, I think Charles Baxter, who's up with Northland these days. She runs the cutter really well, and boy, still a lot of experience up front. I see Pup loves. So there's a lot of players with a point to prove that they should have been in the Blackburns team. But at the end of the day, I think they'll be too strong for the Tui.
Absolutely. Then we move on to Sunday, and this is an 11:35 game in Porirua, Jerry Collins Stadium. It's Wellington Pride versus Otago Spirit. Otago Spirit, they will be pretty much on cloud nine after that good win at the after that result at the weekend. But I'm looking at this Wellington probably just look that little bit too good in this competition.
Yeah, I'd have to go along with you. I mean, it's a lot of there's a lot of strike power in this Wellington side, and I think they'll be far too strong for Otago. What I mean, far too strong, maybe closer than we think. I think whoever wins this particular game will pretty much be the team to beat in the championship.
Absolutely, and then we go to. Waikato versus Counties Manukau Heat. Now this should be a cracking game. Waikato probably disappointed that they were favourites going into the match against Auckland, but really, you know, Auckland proved too good. And Counties Manukau, big win last week for them. This one is a tough one to call. I'm going to go for Waikato in this one, Stephen.
Wow, that's a big call. They are playing at home, so that gives them that advantage. That game also kicks off at 2 o'clock today. Interesting that you say that. I look through that Monaco team. Boy, they've got some firepower. I see a Tuila Satutu running the cutter today at 10, and of course Hazel Tubrick. So they've got a very good kicking game at second five. Not too bad when you've got Meranangi Paul at centre, so it just gives you an idea of the calibre of players that are around. But yeah, I think I might agree with you. I think Waikato would be a little bit dark, but it would not surprise me if this game goes the other way.
Absolutely. Then we go, and of course, then we've got the Women's World Cup starting next week. And of course, you know, I look at this Women's World Cup, I think we've got a great chance to Black Ferns, but I look at England, they're just powerful. France are a powerful prospect, but a team that really does fly under the radar is Canada as well.
I definitely go along with that. Boy, it's not too far, only 7 days. 7 days away. First game kicks off. England v USA, and of course Canada play Fiji. You kind of expect them to be far too strong for Fiji when they play next Sunday morning. So yeah, it's all happening, isn't it?
Absolutely, it certainly is. And then of course then it's just going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's just the big thing is who can beat England, and are the Black Ferns up to it? That's where it's going to come into question. I still believe I believe it will be a repeat of the last World Cup final, but it may be a differing result. But I look at Canada, I just think they're a team that could upset the apple cart.
Most possibly. Of course, that opening game next Saturday morning at 6:30 a.m. So we'll know exactly how England looks after that first game. They shouldn't be troubled by the USA. Canada versus Fiji. I think Canada possibly too strong. Australia play Samoa. I'm expecting Australia to be far too strong for Samoa in that game. And then you've got a bit of a Six Nations thing happening with Scotland v Wales. I guess that game could go either way, but we have seen some encouraging results from Wales in the last few months, including a victory over Australia. So that's going to give them a lot of confidence. And of course, France Italy game will also be an interesting game as well. The Italians are improved, but yeah, France definitely the team to beat. Now those games, Scotland, Wales, Canada, Fiji, France, Italy, and Ireland and Japan are all on the Sunday, and of course our New Zealand girls play their first game. In fact, it's the last game of the round. They play Spain on Monday the 25th at 4:30 a.m. So you would expect them to be too strong for Spain in their opening game.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you there, mate. Anyway, Stephen, well, good luck with you're making it. You're going to be a bit, your voice is going to be a bit worn out by the end of today because you're commentating two games back to back. But congratulations on getting that gig for today, and I think it's well deserved. And really looking forward to our chat next week as we not only cover the Farah Palmer Cup, but we'll also be looking at this Women's World Cup.
Well, the key to getting a gig is making sure you get invited back. So, listen.
You know why I don't get invited back to a lot of parties? We'll say no more.
we'll leave it at that, mate. Listen, have a great day. And
Take care. Have a good call, Stephen. Cheers, mate.
Plenty of money to get your teeth into.
Cheers, bye. He's a good bloke. Absolutely wrapped that he got that gig, mate. Thoroughly deserved. One of the best rugby commentators I can hear, and a fantastic guy to boot too. Well, next up we're gonna do a bit of a rugby league, and when we talk to Joey Green from Auckland Rugby League. Obviously, we big win by the Warriors last night, and of course, then we're also talking big weekend in rugby league tomorrow at Waitakere Trust Stadium. So let's get into it. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender. Now a special shout out to Douglas Drainage. Every problem has a solution. All solutions have a cost. Minimise the costs with information and technology. Provided information with technology and research. That's what they do at Douglas Drainage. Their number is 0274 838 737. So give them a call. Wow. Yep, it was a tight one at Go Media last night. And here to talk to us as we look at not only the Warriors game, some of the other NRL games and the NRL weekend, as well as looking at Auckland Rugby League. From Auckland Rugby League, a promising young rugby referee, Joey Green, how are you?
Yeah, good morning, mate. I managed to survive the heart attack that, you know, many Warriors fans would have had last night, but as we'll touch on
mate,
a bit.
You're too young to be thinking like that, mate. Once you get to my age and look like me, yeah, definitely a heart attack walking, but I shouldn't say much than that. I can correct that. Yeah, absolutely. To be honest with you, we were very, very lucky because I think the Dragons really, they started off with a flyer, but a Pompey double, Lika Harmasena. Always he just gets, I just love the way he plays. But just some of your thoughts.
Yeah, look, I thought it was quite scrappy from the Warriors, to be fair. Like you said, I think a lot of what the Warriors done good, to be fair, probably hit what the Warriors didn't do so well. I didn't think their forward pack quite fronted up last night. Like Jackson Ford, I thought, put in massive efforts with the ball in hand, but also came up with a couple of errors. You could say the same about Fisher-Harris. You could probably say the same about the whole forward back, to be fair. Just came up with errors in crucial times. But then when they needed to flick the switch and put some points on the board, that they managed to get the points on the board and come away with the win. Massive effort from Manutenu Ikori, I thought, last night. He's not traditionally the second rower to play the full 80. When we've seen Eddie Arameda get out there, and, it's kind of just trying to see who he came on for, and realised that he had come on for Lekka, and Lekka we didn't see for the rest of the game. So a massive effort it takes from him. That's the first, 80-minute effort he's put out all season. And I thought, he really starts to show that that he can play big minutes in that second row.
Absolutely. And when you look at it, like, and Nakora's been just one of these workhorses. He's not a flashy player. He just does his job. Right at the end, when Sloan broke through and I thought, God, not again, this is going to happen. But, I can say this now, we can probably confidently say that the Warriors have made the playoffs on this one.
Yeah, it's great to see them back in the top four as well. I think that we can pretty safely say that regardless of how the results go over the next couple of weeks, they should see themselves playing in September. So it's great to see it's great to see the Warriors having this kind of problem and not having to win their last three games and rely on other results. It's great to see them in a position where they're sitting in fourth place, they're sitting in the top eight quite comfortably, and we can look forward to them playing come the back end of the season.
Absolutely, and of course we look at the other games of the weekend, and of course then that Thursday night game, Storm 22, Panthers 18, Harry Grant, what a brilliant dummy. He had everyone fooled. I'm going to say something, Joey. That felt like a grand final.
Yeah, it definitely felt like one of those games where the intensity just lifted, and you could kind of tell, both of those sides were up for that game, and they're probably going to be there come that prelim final, maybe even grand final time, depending on how the finals bracket falls and whether they can fall on the same side of that bracket or not. But massive efforts from both those sides. And if you're a Panthers fan, even though, you've just come off 9 wins in a row, you're probably not going to be too disheartened that you lose to a Melbourne side who, whilst they're missing Jerome Hughes, Ryan Pappenhausen, they're playing Cameron Munster at fullback, which he hasn't played there in a very long time, in a Storm jumper. You're not going to be too disheartened that, you took a Melbourne side to Golden Point and, lost, some might say, on a controversial penalty, and then, you'd think a step ahead. And Harry Grant puts on a bit of a masterclass and scores a 4-pointer under the post to win the game. I think Ruth is still going to be there come the back end of the season. So a great game to start off what's been a great round so far.
Absolutely. And then we have the Roosters versus the Bulldogs, and that big win by the Roosters, 32 points to 12, Daniel Tupou a hat-trick, but really I was impressed with Nathaniel White, and I think Stacey Jones, if he was the Kiwis coach, he would be looking in that saying, God, just keep it going, mate.
Yeah, 100%. I think, with how Penrith, went on their little winning streak of 9 wins in a row. The Roosters, whilst they haven't quite reached the heights of that, they're playing some really good football now that Sam Walker's come back into the side. They've got a settled half combination. The young number 9 for the Roosters, but not Iuelu, who's, he could probably be on the cards for a Samoa debut come the back end of the year. They're really starting to find their feet now, those Roosters, compared to the Bulldogs, who, they welcomed back Connor Tracy last night, and they started that game really well too. But the Roosters just got into the nitty gritty of that game and just outclassed the Bulldogs. So not so much warning signs for the Bulldogs yet, but warning signs for the rest of the top eight that the Roosters are back to play.
Absolutely. So we go to the games of the weekend, and we started off Sharks versus Titans.
Yeah, look, I think with how the Sharks played last weekend against the Dragons, now they're going to be firing, this weekend against the Titans side, who, like we've touched on the last couple of weeks, they really don't have anything to lose with the season at this point. Keanu Kenny comes back into the side this afternoon, whether he plays the full 80 or whether he plays limited minutes. It's a good watch for Stacey Jones to have leading into the Kiwis campaign at the back end of the season. But the Titans, like they have with a few other teams the last couple of weeks, they're going to throw the ball around and they're going to try their hand a bit, just to disrupt the other team's season. So I think it's going to be another close one for Gold Coast, but the Sharks might just scrape home.
Absolutely. And then we've got the Broncos versus the Dolphins. Dolphins still have a chance of making that top eight, but the Broncos, they really want to, they came into a bit of form last week. They can really prove the form, especially in that game and especially at Lang Park.
Yeah, 100%. The Broncos at home just seem to be a bit of a different beast. And without their first-choice half-sparing of Ezra Mamm and Adam Reynolds this afternoon, it's going to be a little bit of a different side with Ben Hunt and Billy Walters lining up at the half. So I think they're going to rely on a little bit more of that X-factor in their side and the likes of the Katoni Staggs and Reece Walsh and the Dolphins, especially after that effort against the Roosters last week. And they're just going to want to front up, especially if they want to hold on to that eighth spot. They're just inside there at the moment, but you've got a few other sides breathing down the back of their necks who want to, jump into that top eight. So it's going to be a great game this afternoon at Suncorp Stadium.
Yeah, I think it'll be a cracker. Rabbitohs versus Eels. Well, the Rabbitohs had a win last week. Eels, they just keep on proving that, with Mitch Moses there, they just prove that they're a dangerous prospect. But just your thoughts on this one, Joey.
Yeah, look, it's for these two sides, similar to the Titans, there's not a whole lot riding on this game for either club. Tyrone Munro comes back into this Bunny side. Cody Walker sounds like he's going to be back in action tonight as well. So for the Bunnies, they're just going to want to get all their troops back fit for the end of the season and finish their season on a high. Similar to the Parramatta, they're starting to show some improvements over the last 3 weeks. They're no chance of making the eight. So I think for either of these sides, they're just going to want to throw the pull around and have, chance of your hand a bit attacking wise. So could be a higher scoring one, I think. But I think the Rabbitohs, especially after last week, I think they might get a 2 points here.
And, of course, then we go to Sunday, Tigers versus Seagulls. Now, I look at this, the Seagulls have still got a chance of making the eights. The Tigers have really come into a bit of form lately.
Yeah, they're in a good bit of form, especially after last weekend, getting a win over the Bulldogs. The Tigers, they just want to try and, similar to a few other clubs, just want to start disrupting team seasons. And it's going to, start tomorrow afternoon against Manly, who will want to try and, get a win, especially missing Jake Dvojevic and one of their leaders. It's going to be a massive ask for that forward pack. Savanga moving back into the 13, Caleb Navali getting a stint on the bench as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how Manly can front up. We know that they, on their day, they can be a top eight side, but it's going to be games like this where they're going to need a win. So I think the Tigers will try anything and everything to disrupt Manly, but I think Manly should just be too strong.
Absolutely. And then it's Cowboys versus Knights. Well, I just think this one as well, It's a battle for a bit of pride, basically.
Yeah, exactly like the Rabbitohs at Eagles games, just the battle to, for these guys to start building for 2026. I think the interesting point for the Newcastle Knights is their fullback on debut tomorrow, Connor Vitano, played under 19's Origin early in the year. And if Kalen Ponga does happen to leave the Knights over the next couple of years, whether Fletcher Sharp ends up taking that fullback spot, but if it's not Fletcher Sharp, then it's going to be Connor Vitano. He's a talented fullback, been biding his time and reserve grade this season and just been waiting for his opportunity, and he gets it tomorrow night. So one to watch for the rugby league punters tomorrow.
Absolutely. So we move on to Auckland Rugby League, and it's tomorrow, Westpac at Waitakere Trust Stadium. Get out there because it's an early start, 9:45. We started off with the Sharman Cup, Hibiscus Coast versus Otaro Scorpions.
Yeah, look, this one's going to be a massive matchup. Hibiscus hunting their first piece of silverware since 2002, I believe, when they last won the Fox Memorial, and the year before that they won the Sharman Cup, and they've gone through the season undefeated. And, you know, going up against the Ōtara side, who played in their second Sharman Grand Final in the last three seasons. So, and Ōtara, from catching up with a couple of their players this morning, they sound like they're really up for this game. When they went up there a couple of months ago, they got a bit of a beating handed to them, and they're going to want to give it back to the Raiders. So, I think the Ōtara boys might sneak an upset tomorrow. They've got a bumper forward pack named, and I think with the names and their side like they're going to have tomorrow, if Hibiscus Coast can't match that, then they're going to need to be careful. But Hibiscus will, you know, want to continue on their perfect season, but it's going to be a close one to call.
Absolutely. And then we go to the women's premiership final for the Steel Shanks Trophy, Papakura versus Man Albert.
Yeah, Papakura back in the grand final, looking to go back-to-back, going against the Mount Albert side, who were in the grand final 2 years ago, didn't quite make it through last year, but are back there again this year, upsetting Otahuhu last week, who have basically been the only team that have really challenged either of these two sides. So Papakura are going to have a challenge on their hands tomorrow against the Mount Albert side, who are coming into a good piece of form, but with how Papakura have played this season, I think they're just going to be too strong for Mount Albert.
Absolutely, and of course the big one, Otahuhu Leopards versus Mount Albert Lions. I know this is going to be huge. You know, Otahuhu will want to finish the season off. They were very lucky last week, and they will want to finish off the season unbeaten.
Yeah, absolutely. That game last weekend, you know, the Papakura took them right till the 75th minute, and then they just managed to sneak home very luckily. And against the Mount Albert side, who, whilst they've had a couple of blips in the road, you know, they lost to Teotihu very early on in the season, and the only other two losses they've had have been against this Otahuhu side. And it's going to be a pleasure to call this one tomorrow. I'm lucky enough to be in the commentary booth for it. So I'm looking forward to being out there. Hopefully the weather can hold out too, because, you know, all the storylines heading into this grand final, it's going to be a cracker, and I think Mount Albert will try and do anything and everything they can to upset Otahuhu. But if they can carry on this form, Otahuhu's just going to be too strong. But looking forward to seeing how it plays out.
Absolutely. And if you want to watch that game online, do you go to the Auckland Rugby League website?
Yeah, 100%. The links will be all over our social media channels as well as on our YouTube as well. So if you can't get down to the stadium, then tune in wherever you can, because it's going to be a grand final you don't want to miss.
Absolutely. Well, Joey, you have a wonderful weekend. It's probably good to have a day off today, and we will catch up next week.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully I'll get through the action tomorrow, and we'll catch up again next week.
Yeah, and we'll do a quick review. Anyway, we'll catch you later, mate. That was Joey Green from Auckland Rugby League. Next up, we're going to talk a bit of the darts with Jamie Roberts. I used to rule the world. Caesar'd rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone. Sweep the streets I used to own. I used to roll the dice, feel the fear in my enemy's eyes. Listen as the crowd would sing. Now the old king's dead, long live the king. One minute I held the key, next the walls were closed on me, and I discovered that my castle stand upon pillars of salt and pillars of sand. I hear terrors and the bells are ringing, Roman cavalry choirs are singing, beam of mirror, my sword and shield.
Taking a wild wind, blew down the doors to let me in. Shattered windows and the sound of drums. People couldn't believe what I'd become. Revolution Day.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender. Just before we get to Jamie, we might as well, this is a big shout out to our sponsors, WaterSmart. Weekend mission sorted, mate. Wash the car, rinse the boat, clean the bait station, keep the wife's tomato plants happy, all with a WaterSmart tank. No water restrictions, no worries, and different sizes to suit your property. So check out watersmart.co.nz and take control today. Well, it's here, the big event, which is a big social event. It's also a big sporting event, is the Auckland Darts Masters. And, well, flicking between the channels last night between the Warriors, the NPC and the darts, at times I was absolutely captivated by the darts, and the quality of the players that turn up to this tournament is absolutely amazing. Here to chat to us, he is our Mr. Darts, a regular on the show when it comes to the subject, Jamie Roberts. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are we all?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. I have to say, you know, I looked at the crowd. I could hear the singing. It was just fantastic. But, you know, I looked at the quality of some of the players, and, you know, I looked at some of the efforts made by our Kiwis, and obviously Mark Cleaver, had a Luke Littler at 4-all, but Luke the Nuke came through. Luke Humphreys was tested by Hopai Puha, and of course Bunting. He looked very good, but Ben Robb had some opportunities. I think our Kiwi boys made some really good efforts there, Jamie, but just the quality of these guys that come out here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is what these boys are doing week in and week out. They arrived last week in Australia. They looked a little bit tired and a little bit jet laggy on that Friday night. But I think they got the wake-up call, and they started to hit that practice board, you know, and get into that rhythm and, you know, ready for it all. And I think they all showed up last night. But the Kiwis did put up a great battle. You know, plenty of 180s thrown around as well. And well done to debutant Dean Rayland. He got a leg, which is, you know, first time up on stage. That's your first goal, is to get a leg. But, yeah, look, there were some interesting battles. Johnny Tarter and Gwyn Price, I thought, was a fantastic game.
Yeah, it was a good match.
And, you know, there was plenty of 180s thrown around. We all know back home on what Johnny Tarter can do. To be fair to say that they'll be a little bit disappointed themselves, the Kiwis, because they know that they've got more in the tank. And sometimes, because we don't have that experience from, you know, the dart room up onto the big stage, It's a bit of a different transition, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it is a different transition, and I think the own, you know, I you mentioned Dean Rayland. He you know, what's he going to do on Monday? He's going to go to his normal 9-to-5 job, and you know, just to have that experience in front of a big crowd, and to be involved is a huge honour. But we've got some dart players who I think are fantastic, and you know, obviously our old mate Hopes, and I hope you got a haircut at Mo's Barbers down of Mount Eden. And of course I looked at the big rig, Ben Robb. I hadn't seen him, and Ben actually looked like they looked anxious. But I think at times, you know, in a tournament like this, if you're a young Kiwi qualifier, you know, it can overawe you.
Oh, 100%. And we've you know, we've seen that. Last year we had Daniel Snooks up on stage for the first time, and for a lot of these boys, once they get up on stage, they feel like they've made it, you know, and so the result, whilst they'd love to get a win, they already felt like they've won in their minds. But you know, the likes of, you know, the Hurrings, the Tarters, the Robs, the Hopai and the Cleavers, even who have been up a few times, they're hunting for that next phase where they can really get a win on there. And they will, you know, if they keep putting in the time, they will get it. There's plenty of opportunities coming up with the ANZ Premier League starting up at the end of the year.
we'll see who gets in there. So, yeah, I mean, if we can get these boys playing a bit more up on stage in front of crowds and that, I think anything can happen, because we all know what they can do on the boards when they're playing against us at home and smashing us. You know, they're pulling out world-class averages all the time.
Yeah, and I watched that Humphreys Haupai Puha game. Jeez, that game was so quick.
Yeah, it was.
And it was just like, at times you could see the Humphreys was getting quite frustrated. But we look at the draw for today, and of course we have, and this is a guy I believe could be the likely winner. And we started off Bunting versus Dobie. We've got Humphreys versus Heta. Gerwin Price, who I also think would be one to watch, versus Rock. And Luke Littler versus De Decker.
Yeah, those are some great matchups as well. You know, this is where the boys are switched on today. They've got through that first round last night, and that now it's time to reset and refocus. They're playing, you know, each other now, and look, it's all on the night. We saw Gil and Price play Dobie last week, and I thought Price looked like the better player, but Dobie is just always there and managed to put him away. So there's nothing in it for these guys. They're going to go out there to battle hard. The Decker's throwing some good darts. I know Humphreys has got a lot to prove as well. He's getting a lot of online for his form recently and all that. But yeah, these guys are professionals, right? This is their job. So we're going to see some fiery games and some cracking games tonight. Some big finishes and some big 180s as well.
Absolutely. Well, I look at that. I look at Bunting. I mean, Bunting versus Dobie, you'd have to go for Bunting. Humphreys versus Heta. Heta, you know, I think that one's a tough one. Gerwin Price looks really good, and I think Luke Littler will be too good forward to Decker. Who do you see winning this tournament?
Oh, look, I think if last night when I was watching all the games and stuff, the best player out there looked like Gerwin Price, you know, with his 180s and stuff. I think he got 7 in the game. I mean, if he can combine his power scoring, you know, with his finishing, he should go through to win it. But as we know, there's always funny matchups and stuff. I think Dobie's beaten Price a few times, you know, leading up to it as well. So that kind of just comes down to matchups. And a bit of timing as well. You need timing on your side. They're all very capable of winning it. I'm gonna go for Price though.
I think that's a good call. I think Price or maybe Bunting is the guy I will probably be looking at. Just looking out, there was a good crowd at Spark Arena now. It's the first time the event's back in Auckland after a couple of years in Hamilton. Before that, it was out at Waitakere Trust Stadium. And I must admit, I remember going to my first darts tournament when it was 3 days. And believe me, it was three days of fun and probably a lot of alcohol sunk and 2 days of recovery at home. You know, what has been the comments? What's been the feedback from people you know who went there last night? How have they found Spark?
Oh, look, they found it really, really good, really easy to get into. I had friends, you know, Ubering in. I had friends catching the train in as well. It was nice and central for everywhere. The bars were nice and busy afterwards. So it was really, really, you know, it was a good atmosphere. And the Aucklanders, you know, hasn't been here for a little bit.
Yeah, no.
Everyone sort of loves coming to Auckland. You've got Sky City there as the big sponsor as well. A lot of people staying there. I know they're looking after a lot of the players, and they're offering free buses back to the Sky City. So it's great for the economy in Auckland.
Yeah, we need it.
It's a good event. And let's hope it continues.
Yeah, well, of course, I met when I was at our sponsor, one of the sponsors of the show's bar, met a couple of guys from the West Coast who were playing a bit of darts there, and they were here for the Warriors, and they were here for, and they were going to the darts tonight, and they just said, we've planned this for a while. We just said, damn it, let's get up to Auckland. I think they were surprised, remembering they're from the West, west coast of the South Island, they saw coloured TV for the first time. But yeah,
but and they've just when, got TV three,
yeah. It's no longer called TV three. And then, what it is, there's so many people that love this event, and you know, I look at it, it's great for the economy. I'll be honest with you, I probably wasn't a big fan of it going to Spark because I liked it out west because it actually felt like a real atmosphere. But with the darts being what it is, the juggernaut it has been, they need to go to a bigger venue like Spark.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, probably PDC has something to do with that. They want to try and make it nice and easy for the guys that they're bringing over. So it kind of just makes sense having, you know, the Sky City as a sponsor, all the boys staying in the hotel. They're getting the good experiences with the Sky City as well, you know, the free massages and the bungee jumps and stuff like that. So, it's, we were down there for the nine dart challenge on Thursday with Russ Bray and John McDonald, and my son did it, and he stepped up, and in nine darts, he scored 171. So he did really well. He got more than me, the little bugger.
Yeah, there could be a call from the Birkenhead RSA Darts Club. Get rid of Roberts Senior and bring in Roberts Junior.
Oh yeah. Sounds good. I've just been at football with them all morning. So, yeah, it's been, it's good for the family, keeping them involved in sport. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Jamie, you enjoy the rest of the darts. I'm actually going to put some money on Gerwin Price to win this tournament on your recommendation. Not a lot, because I don't want to fall out with you if I lose a lot of money for your bets. But, I just think this will be a fantastic tournament, and hopefully soon around the time out for the World Championships, we can catch up.
Yep, absolutely, mate. All the best, and have a great morning, and cheers for tuning.
Cheers. Okay, catch you later, Jamie. Jamie Roberts, absolutely good bloke, absolutely fantastic bloke. Well, next up, we've got the big guy from Between Two Bears. There's a lot of Seamus Martin as we talk about a football. We've got a lot of football to get through.
Close your eyes.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. Before we get on to our next guest, Mr. Seamus Martin, big shout out to Robert Thompson from Barford and Thompson in Epsom. So if you're looking to buy, looking to sell, looking to get on that Auckland property market, looking for advice how to get on that property market, this is a person you need to contact. Robert Thompson, Barford and Thompson, Epsom branch. I can tell you something about Robert. Robert has huge business acumen. We'll give you attention to detail. We'll give you personal service. And I don't mind actually saying it to him. And I know he gets embarrassed about it, but he's actually a really good bloke. And so give Robert a call. It's, his number is 021-737-949 or r.thompson@barfords.co.nz. Well, here to join us, as he joins us every Saturday, the big guy from that little small podcast called Between Two Beers, Seamus Martin. Good morning to you, young man.
Morning, Eamon. How are you today?
Excellent. Robert Thompson says to say hello, and next time if you see him, call him up and he will buy you a coffee.
Oh, sounds good. I'll take him up on that offer.
Yep. Yep, he certainly will. And he'll also tell you about his National League career with Mount Wellington. He actually mentioned to me, he said, we used to win everything until I played a season, we won nothing. So on that note. Okay, we just... let's rip into it. It's a big, we've got a lot of football to rip into. FFA Cup, a good one for Auckland FC, 3-0 over South Melbourne, and a couple of goals for Jesse Randall. He looks in sparkling form. The Phoenix got a 1-0 win. They're both in the quarterfinals. Just some of your thoughts on these games.
Yeah, I watched the Phoenix match against Noona Whiting City. It was a tough, tough ask. The goal by Ishige right at the end, I think everyone was relieved that went in just to end that game. But they do march on to the quarterfinals where they'll play Heidelberg United on Tuesday night, 9:30 p.m. And if they win that, it could potentially set up a semi-final against their Kiwi rivals, Auckland FC, who, as you say, a 3-0 win over South Melbourne. Jesse Randall in sparkling form. Marley Francois with a goal as well. Good to see a debut for the new signing Lachlan Brooks and a famous footballing man in New Zealand, Luka Vucelic, at the age of 17, son of the godfather, Ivan, getting a run as well. Now, they'll take on Sydney FC next Saturday night at 9:30 p.m, which on paper looks like the harder of the two quarterfinals, doesn't it? But it'd be great to see the two Kiwi sides clash in the semi-final. That'll be an interesting fixture in the Australia Cup, wouldn't it? Two Kiwi sides in that semi-final.
Well, imagine if the draw went the other way and they both had easy runs. The Australian Football Confederation would change everything, and I think it was done on purpose to avoid a potential all Kiwi final. But wouldn't it be great to have? And I don't care if it's Auckland FC or the Phoenix, as long as we can get a New Zealand team in that final and hopefully get a bit of silverware.
Yeah, totally. And I think it'll be Auckland. I was lucky enough last night to be at the premiere of their new documentary, behind the scenes documentary, which charts their first season, Auckland FC Forever. They look in really good form and really hungry to try and go one better than they did last season. After lifting the Premier's plate, they've got their eye on winning the whole thing and making some big moves. I think expect to see quite a big signing in the next coming days.
Yes.
I will suggest a replacement for Alex Paulson. People can connect the dots around that, but that's some intel that I picked up on working the floors yesterday. But also good to see Wellington, their rivals in the transfer market as well. Nikola Miliusnic signed this week, so he will move into that squad as well. And it was good to see Eze, the new Nigerian striker, and Carlo Amiento as well turn out for Wellington in that win over Noona Whiting City in the Australia Cup.
Absolutely. So it is a big weekend of football, and of course a big trophy in New Zealand football, the Chatham Cup. We have a couple of semi-finals today. Auckland United versus Nelson Suburbs, David versus Goliath, as they call it, and then this one really interests me, Eastern Suburbs versus Wellington Olympic.
Yeah, that's the glamour one on paper, isn't it? Eastern Suburbs versus Wellington Olympic. Olympic have been one of the big club sides in New Zealand over the last few years. I actually tipped them to be eliminated at the quarterfinal stage. I don't know if you remember that, suggesting that maybe it was a season too far for some of their more experienced players. Well, they proved me wrong. But I'm going to tip for the home side today, Eastern Suburbs, to win that game against Wellington Olympic. I just think a younger, hungrier Eastern Suburbs on paper start for me as the favourites to win that one. But on the other side, that second semi-final in the Chatham Cup, Auckland United versus Nelson Suburbs, I'm going to go with the underdogs. I'm going to go with the South Island team, Nelson Suburbs, to continue their giant killing run. They tipped out Birkenhead United in the quarterfinals, and I think they'll get another Northern League scalp today in Auckland United. So there you go. I'm predicting a final Eastern Suburbs versus Nelson Suburbs in the Chatham Cup.
Suburbs versus Suburbs. Then we go to the Coates Shepherd Cup. Well, Auckland United, this one is a cracker. Auckland United versus Eastern Suburbs. And then in the other semi-finals, the Wellington Phoenix Women's Reserves versus Kashmir Tech. Now, I'll just go on to this. I can see the Phoenix Women's Reserve, who have been quite impressive in the Central League, and I can see them actually beating Kashmir Tech in this one, and this would be great for the Phoenix organisation.
I'm 100% behind you on that as well. I think the Phoenix Reserves has a nice little smattering of first team players that that line up week in, week out, and I agree with you. I think they will be too strong for Kashmir Technical, but Kashmir actually will have a couple of Phoenix players themselves lining up in Rebecca Lake. And they won't be easy beats, but I agree. I think Phoenix Reserves at home, I'm actually going to tip the Phoenix Reserves to win the Kate Shepherd Cup altogether, and I think that's a great little lead-in. Yeah, I think that's a great little lead-in for them into the A-League Women. I think Phoenix Reserves will also be in that National League Women's competition, and I just think they're building really nicely down there in the capital, and really put some critical thought into their women's program. So I'm with you. I tip the Phoenix Reserves to defeat Kashmir Technical, but that all Auckland semi-final in the Kate Shepherd Cup is an interesting one. Auckland United versus Eastern Suburbs, two traditional powerhouses. It's a double header at Auckland United. Don't forget they've got that Nelson Suburbs game beforehand, and the Kate Shepherd Cup will be under lights, and Auckland United for me will be too strong for Eastern Suburbs. I think their league form is pretty dominant. They've all but guaranteed a place in the National League. In fact, the top four teams in the Women's Premier League are pretty much secured as to who will advance. But I think in that knockout game, Auckland United will defeat Eastern Suburbs. Phoenix Reserves will defeat Kashmir Technical, and we'll have an Auckland Phoenix final in the Kate Shepherd Cup.
And then we move on to the Northern League men's. Well, This one is as close as it gets, man. It's really close.
Okay. Last week was a topsy-turvy run of that we
Fencibles, Fencibles, but yeah, I know Fencibles. Western Springs will lift the trophy. Nobody listens to us anymore. Nobody does. Oh, of course they do. They listen to you. They just think, who's that idiot Seamus is on with? But yeah. Anyway, we started off Tauranga City versus Bay Olympic. Manurewa versus ECB, East Coast Base, still hanging in there. And Birkenhead versus Fencibles, Western Springs versus Auckland FC Reserves. Well, that first one, I can't see. I think Tauranga are just too good.
Yeah, I agree. I think they'll keep their hopes alive with a win over Bay Olympic. I agree with you. I think East Coast Bay is the other team that won't go away. I think they keep their hopes alive with a win over Manurewa, who are struggling in bottom position. So I think we're no clearer as to who the top four will be if it is wins to Tauranga and East Coast Bay. I think Birkenhead are too strong for Fencibles United, but I said that last week with Western Springs against Fencibles United, and then Fencibles tipped them over, so who knows? But I think you go on form, Birkenhead win that game. And then Western Springs Auckland FC Reserves is an interesting one. Yeah. And I'm actually gonna go Auckland FC Reserves to win that game. I think there's just something in the air. There was something in the atmosphere last night at that Auckland FC premiere. That the organisation is, I think, really starting to get into pre-season form, and that reserve piece is a big part of that. So I think Auckland FC Reserves upset Western Springs. There's another game which is really interesting on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I was just coming to that. Auckland City FC versus Eastern Suburbs. Very important for both those teams.
Oh, absolutely. That's fourth in Eastern Suburbs, visiting fifth in Auckland City. And I'm not sure how many times I've said it already this year, but Auckland City have to win that game if they have to be any chance of making that top four. So they're currently 3 points outside of the top four. It's Eastern Suburbs that they take on Tuesday, on 36 points ahead of them. And there's just something about Auckland FC when their backs are against the wall and they need to pull out a result. They more often than not do. And I think they win that game against Eastern Suburbs, who I think will be exhausted after a really tough Chatham Cup semi-final against Wellington Olympic today.
Absolutely. Then we go to the women's Northern League. And of course, last night, Western Springs nil, West Coast Rangers nil. West Coast Rangers would have loved to have had that win, but there's not too much between these two teams. So we have two games over the weekend: Hibiscus Coast versus Fencibles, FC Tauranga versus Ellerslie, and a midweek game, Auckland United versus Eastern Suburbs, and that is on the Wednesday.
Yeah, look, it's really, for me, the conversation is about who gets relegated in the, out of the Women's Premier League between Hibiscus Coast and FC Tauranga Moana. Hibiscus Coast take on Fencibles today, and again, I think these two results go on paper if you look at them, so I think Fencibles defeat Hibiscus Coast and keep them in the bottom. The only thing I can see keeping Tauranga Moana in the conversation is the fact that these teams have got to make that three-hour trip down to the Bay of Plenty to play them. Maybe Ellerslie find a little bit of fatigue in there, but that should go on form. And isn't it interesting, you've got the Kate Sheppard Cup semi-final today, Auckland United versus Eastern Suburbs, and then they clash again midweek in the league. I think Auckland United do the double over Eastern Suburbs in a week of Cup and league matches.
Absolutely. Anyway, well, then we move on to the EPL, and Liverpool started a 4-2 win over Bournemouth. That game was close, but unfortunately, racism pulls out its ugly head again.
Oh, I didn't catch the game this morning, so I'm not across the detail. But if that's the case, that's a real shame that
yeah, the game was halted. Semenyo basically was racially abused by some fans. The game was halted for a number of minutes. It was a 4-2 win for Liverpool. At one stage, it was 2-2. Just to also give you an update, Alex Paulson wasn't in the squad at all. So Liverpool looked good. They did look good in parts, but I have to say, like, it's terrible to hear this.
I'm hearing this for the first time, so I'm shocked that it's happened at Anfield as well. Who, you know, the Liverpool supporters traditionally very, very acute, very, very aware of the wider issues. And if this is the case, that's a hugely, hugely disappointing thing for the club. I hope the perpetrators receive the maximum sort of penalty.
Oh, so do I.
There's no place in the game. And what a horrible way to mark the opening of the English Premier League to be talking about this and not the result. Really is disappointing to hear. So, look, a real negative to start the English Premier League, but Liverpool underway with 3 points in their title defence.
Absolutely terrible. Absolutely. So we might as well get into it. This is the Saturday games. Aston Villa versus Newcastle, Brighton versus Fulham, and Sunderland versus West Ham. Now, just before we get on to West Ham, I've got a few listeners overseas. They said we have to disagree with Seamus. We're not going to be anywhere near the relegation zone.
Controversy.
Yeah.
Controversy.
It's usually me getting myself digging a hole for myself. God's sake, Martin, don't follow my examples.
Well, hey, look, it's great that we're getting the people talking.
Absolutely. And this is how brilliant the CPL is. I love EPL football. I think New Zealanders are really enjoying. Just looking at that first one, Villa versus Newcastle, I can see nothing but a draw written on that.
No, I've got a D next to that fixture as well, so I'm going to sit on the fence and join you there as well. I've got a draw between those two sides.
And if Bunnings were ever going to sponsor us, this will be proudly brought to you by Bunnings. Anyway, now next up, Brighton versus Fulham. I think Brighton are just too good.
I've gone draw again here. I just don't know where the form is sitting for the opening round of the matches, so I've sat on the fence for three of the openings. So I've gone draw, Brighton versus Fulham. I know Fulham haven't been super active in the transfer window, and maybe their fans just wondering what's going to happen with their side, but I can't separate those two teams, so I've sat on the fence on that one.
Okay, then we go Sunderland or West Ham. Well, I'm actually deciding to sit on the fence in this one. Sorry, my West Ham mates overseas. But I think
West Ham.
Yeah, I've gone for a draw.
Well, your West Ham mates are going to be even more disappointed with me because I'm tipping the Stadium of Light to be the one, the Black Cats, with 3 points over West Ham in the opening game and to kick off their return to the Premier League with a win at home.
Yeah, well, you're going to get the dive. Not only my West Ham fans overseas, but a certain West Ham fan in Wellington we both know very well.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, then we move on to Spurs versus Burnley and the final game of the Sunday games, Wolves versus Manchester City. Well, I think Spurs are just going to be too good for Burnley. I think Thomas Frank is going to really, revolutionise the side.
Yeah, they'll be disappointed that they didn't get the Super Cup into their trophy cabinet early, Spurs. But I think just the advantage of having a competitive game like that against Paris Saint-Germain will hold them in good stead against a Burnley side that returned to the top flight. Yeah, I think Spurs win that match at home, and I think Wolves, Manchester City, go on form, recent form, Manchester City, Erling Haaland, to get himself on the score sheet early this season.
I think so too. Monday, it all starts off Chelsea versus Crystal Palace. Well, I think Chelsea could be the ones that could be the surprise in the CPL.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they were really, really impressive at the FIFA Club World Cup where they won that competition. I think they're a real dark horse here to get their hands on the silverware and perhaps win the English Premier League trophy at the end of the season. Crystal Palace, another team, they upset Liverpool in the Charity Shield, but I think Chelsea win that game at Stamford Bridge. But I do think it'll be a tussle, an all London encounter in the first round of the EPL for these two teams. But for me, the Blues win that one.
Absolutely. And Nottingham Forest versus Brentford. Now, this one here, like, big news coming out of Nottingham Forest for New Zealand football fans. Marco Stamenic will be transferred to Swansea. He's going for a medical as we speak, and he will not be part of the Nottingham Forest side, but I am picking Forest to win this. I don't think it's going to be a great year for Brentford.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think last week I tipped Brentford to be in the relegation conversation, and I think Nottingham Forest open their season at home with a win, and I'm going to predict Woodsy to get on the score sheet early.
Absolutely.
And pick up where he left off in season 24-25.
Oh, God, I've got to come to this one. Manchester United versus Arsenal. And, I know that the world is a nicer place and the world's a great place and Manchester United will revive itself. There will be joy at Old Trafford, but I am going to go for a 1-1 draw.
I've got a 1-1 draw as well. There you go. I can't. I think there's a little bit of hope around Old Trafford. I know there's a lot of hope around Arsenal as well down at the Emirates down there. But I can't separate these two sides. It's a huge match to start off the season for both of these clubs. On paper, on recent form, you go Arsenal every day of the week. Man United, finishing just outside the relegation places last year. But I think I think these two teams can't be separated, and I'm going to predict a draw.
Leeds versus Everton. I'm going to go for a Leeds victory.
Yeah, look, hey, you and I are really aligned on this opening round of the Premier League, aren't we? Because I'm the same. I pick Leeds again on the return to the big time. The place will be rocking. They've got one of the most loyal supporter bases. Everton in recent years have sort of been there or thereabouts above the relegation zone. David Moyes has come back, and it's been a bit of a rebuild there. And they've got their new stadium, which they won't be at this weekend, but I think that'll be a big boost. But I think emotion, return to the Premier League for Leeds, I think they get the win against Everton in that final match of the EPL round one.
Absolutely. Well, young man, I hope Melville has a win and can secure themselves back up there in the Northern League.
Yeah, away at Takapuna today, we'll be without actually one of our bright young guns, Thomas Blackall, who's away with the New Zealand under-16s in the Solomon Islands, and they get their campaign for under-17 World Cup underway over there against Samoa on the 18th of August. They back that up with another match against New Caledonia, and then finally rounding out against the hosts, the Solomon Islands. The top two teams from that competition advance the under-17 World Cup, and a chance for you and I to both congratulate our under-16
Absolutely.
Women who qualified for the FIFA under-17 Women's World Cup with a win in the semi-finals over New Caledonia 4-2, and they then backed that up with a win in the final against the host Samoa 3-0. but great for Samoan football to secure their second under 17 Women's World Cup qualification in consecutive years. So obviously a lot of good work going in behind the scenes of football Samoa. But once again, wonderful for Alana Gunn and those young women to reach the pinnacle of Oceania glory and book themselves the opportunity to represent the country at the FIFA Under 17 Women's World Cup. So good luck to our young men that are flying the flag over in the Solomon Islands and get their campaign underway as well.
Thank you very much, Seamus. You have a great weekend, young man. And we will catch up again, same place, same time next week. And hopefully, our picks come through.
Well, let's see. There'll be close eyes on it. Let's see how we go with that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we won't be getting a lot of love from West Ham. So, yeah, bye.
See you, mate.
Bye. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Next up, Garth Galloway. We talk a bit of cricket.
Concentrating on trucking right, I heard a dog was beside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright. I saw four faces, one man, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other. Chain. He said, I'll give you $1. I said, you got to.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Sports Weekend, where we're going to talk a bit of cricket. And here to join us, he's a regular. He's a regular on our show, and I always enjoy having him on the show, and always enjoy his bit of humour, and it's just his knowledge, and it's just his intelligence and what he sees in the game. Please welcome the one and only Garth Galloway, award-winning broadcaster.
Oh, yes, apparently. Gosh, you make me feel good on a Saturday morning. Thanks for that introduction, Eamon. It's good to be back with you, mate.
Well, I was just going to say, someone's going to make you feel good anyway, mate.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Saturday morning in Christchurch, so 17 degrees. I'm feeling great. It's
17 degrees? Oh, God. That's bloody good. Anyway, I was just going to say, New Zealand versus Zimbabwe, I don't, you know, we won the Test Series quite convincingly. Some of my thoughts, we saw what a good bowler Matt Henry is, what a world-class bowler. Great stuff here, Zach, folks. Conway's come into a bit of form, but I'll be quite honest with you, and this is no disrespect to Zimbabwe, but I think some of our major associations, second 11s, could beat them.
Well, I think it is kind of disrespectful, but it's true. And so it's not, you know, I think if you say the truth, I think they're an embarrassment, and I don't think they should be, you know, I don't think they're worthy of holding test status. They have, you know, a couple of reasonable batters, one sort of top class bowler, and they're really struggling. They've been well beaten in series by England and by New Zealand. And, you know, I just can't see with their depth and the way that they're playing, I just can't see how they can fight their way up to being competitive. You know, you go back to the days, you think about a player like Andy Flower.
Yep.
Fantastic player, played 60-odd tests, averaged 51, scored 12 centuries. I mean, he was just a world-class player. Grant Flower, I think of a guy called David Houghton, who you might remember.
Yes.
Houghton was only played 22 test matches, but he averaged 45. Hell of a good player. And then, of course, Heath Street, who took a couple of hundred wickets. And he's he's 100 and, over 100 wickets ahead of the next best wicket taker, who's taken 80. So, you know, I don't think it does anything for New Zealand cricket. I was disappointed with the selections. I don't think there's any benefit at all in seeing Conway, Ravindra and Nichols scoring big hundreds. I mean, good on them. They take their opportunity. But, you know, I'm thinking about the series against the West Indies, the series against Australia next year, which is even far more important. And I can't see how Nichols is going to be part of that side. I can't actually see how Conway is either. So they should be, you know, he's a free agent now and his form has been very patchy in recent times. They should have used that series to blood some young batsmen, in my view, and they missed an opportunity.
Yeah, it just the selection is just, it's just so conservative.
So conservative.
Oh, you know, I was happy for Zach Folkes.
Yeah.
9 wickets on debut. Matt Henry proved what he is. Matt Henry's just he's a world-class bowler. I don't believe we gained anything out of it. I think it was just like, to be honest with you, I think our batsmen probably would have got more more tested in the nets at practice.
Yeah, I agree. It's an incredibly disappointing series. I mean, I think you've got to... You had to give New Zealand credit in the sense that they went over there and demolished them, and they didn't lower their standards. And sometimes you see when teams are playing against sides which are much weaker than them, you know, they take their foot off the throttle a little bit. And so, you know, New Zealand's performances were thoroughly professional, and, you know, and they get absolute credit. But what we're talking about this morning is what is the benefit.
Yeah.
And I don't see much benefit for Zimbabwe, and I don't see a hell of a lot for New Zealand either. And, you know, there would have been some benefit, I think. If they had taken over, for example, Mario and opened with him, they could have taken someone like Boyle or Heffy or just some young middle-order players. But I just feel that there is a lack of confidence. You know, they're scared of faulting against a side like Zimbabwe. They were never going to.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, from a different point, from one series which was so one-sided to what I think has probably been one of the best series I've ever seen, England versus India. What a series, Garth.
Yeah, incredible, wasn't it? And,
absolutely.
You really do have to give a lot of credit to India for surviving in the fourth test and then coming, you know, that draw was absolutely vital, and then coming back and winning the fifth test. I thought they were, you know, they were magnificent. Siraj was superb. Gill, sensational with the bat, 754 runs, 400s in the series. So, some really good batting. I mean, it was wonderful. I think England will feel, though, disappointed that they didn't win the series. They couldn't close out that fourth test. And I suppose one of the things that I thought was interesting about the series, I mean, looking at the stats, you know, very much dominated by medium paces, by fast bowlers and fast medium bowlers. And interestingly, when you look at the series between England and New Zealand, the spinners not really playing a part with this year. Taking 10 wickets at 54 and Washington, Sundar and Jadeja just 7 apiece. So a series dominated by seam and swing bowling and some very fine batting. Great spectacle, but I think England will feel disappointed that they couldn't put India away at home.
Yeah, I would say they'll be disappointed because on day four it looked like this test series was well and truly over. England were going to absolutely win it and win a test series, which would have been a huge knot, would have been a huge victory for McCullum in the way he plays cricket. But
yeah, I agree, and I think I've said to you before on this show that I think the Indian series and the Australian one coming up will define his coaching career in England in the Red Bull form, and I think it's a brilliant series, and the one thing that England are doing is they're continuing to entertain. They have changed their game a bit.
Yeah.
They're not as aggressive as they were, but I think also just a couple of things to think about with England with the Ashes coming up as well. Eamon Crawley 290 at 32 and Pope 306 at 34. They're going to need a lot more out of those two players. They're going to need a lot out of Bashir as well. He is a wicket taker, but he's expensive. And I think they're going to, you know, I think they've got a very hard ask coming up on this tour.
Absolutely. Then we have a look at the, I've been looking at this, been following this Australia-South Africa 2020 series. Now,
yeah.
It's been interesting. Played a lucky, Australia being the big country that it is, are able to play a match in Darwin in probably tropical conditions. But I look at Travis David, 83 and 50 in second. But this one, the mini AV, as AV de Villiers, they call him Beavis, 125 off, I think it was 59 balls.
Yeah, good 56, incredible performance by him. 12 fours and 8 sixes, just a 22-year-old, so really just breaking into his international career. And to score that quickly and that well against, this Australian side's a very good T20 side. And you look at their bowling makeup with Dorsius, Ellis, Zampa, Hazelwood. You know, they're a good side, Eamon, and that's a hell of an innings in Darwin. They head to Cairns tonight for another one, and then, of course, they're off to Mackay as well. So playing up in those lovely, warm country areas in Australia. It's a really interesting series. The final tonight, it starts at 9:30, I think. And, I mean, you'd be brave to pick who the winner will be, I suppose, Australia at home. And then I think we'll get three very entertaining one-day internationals as well, which I'm looking forward to. It's been a really good series. There's a lot of good cricket on, eh?
Yeah, there is. And, of course, then come October, I believe that we'll have Australia here for a...
In England, yeah.
In England, yeah. And, of course, you will be doing your commentary for Sports Nation.
Yeah, doing some of the England games, which I'm looking forward to. Some of those down south, and then and the team covering the Australian games as well. Really looking forward to that. That'll be, you know, a little bit of a highlight, I think, for the summer to have Australia and England here, even though it's in T20 cricket. It'll be incredibly entertaining. Early in the season, though, October, and very early in the season, and then of course we break into, you know, a long, long series with the West Indies, three tests, T20 games and one day internationals. So, you know, that'll be interesting. I just think New Zealand, again, will be too good for the West Indies. A very good opportunity for New Zealand to pick up three test wins against them, as Australia did. And Australia, of course, sitting at the top of the World Test Championship with a 100% winning record after a series against the West Indies. New Zealand have the same opportunity coming up.
I will say this right now. You say it's a great opportunity, and that's a great opportunity to blood some new players.
Yeah, it is. I would like to see New Zealand. I mean, I don't think we're going to because, you know, I think we've seen what happened in Zimbabwe. I mean, I think obviously folks put themselves up there in terms of being, invited into the team and heading into the top side. You know, I think if you've got Henry O'Rourke and Jameson, hopefully they will make up the big three of the New Zealand attack, and then it'll be the likes of Folkes and Smith battling for that fourth seamer spot. Mm. But that's a pretty good attack, and I think the West Indian side will struggle with the bat. You know, they've got some, as we've seen in that series against Australia, they were competitive for moments, you know, for periods, but not long enough. And they're competitive with the ball, less so with the bat, and I think that's where the West Indies will struggle in New Zealand against a very good quick bowling attack.
Absolutely. Well, it's been great having you back on air, Garth. And
good to talk, mate.
Yeah, it's good. It's a pity we don't have more Test cricket in the next
year. Yeah, it is. And only three against the West Indies, three against England, which was a good series last year, and I think everyone enjoyed it. I think, like many fans, Eamon, I'm probably struggling a little bit with the timing. You know, we get to Christmas and our Test cricket is done for the home series. It'd be lovely to have someone coming over here in February and March and playing Test cricket as well.
Yeah, it's just, I just feel that when our diet has got, you know, when the doctor says you need to get this out of your diet, well, our cricketing diet needs more of vegetables and Test cricket and less of red meat in 2020.
Sounds like you've been given some medical advice recently.
Well, I'm a bit too scared to go to the doctors at my size at the moment, but we won't go there, Mr. Galloway. Mr. Galloway, always a pleasure to have you on.
Nice to talk, mate. We will
be talking, and I will, and I've got no doubt I will be harassed by you during the EPL season.
Look forward to it, mate, and all the best for Manchester United's game against Arsenal at home on Monday morning. I'll be thinking of you and smiling. You're predicting a draw, I'm predicting a loss. But I'm really hoping you guys can get top 15 this year. That'll be an achievement for you.
Okay, goodbye. Bye-bye, Mr. Galloway. Bye. he's brilliant, isn't he, Garth Galloway? Okay, next up we've got a panel of Brendan Telfer and Lee Piper. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM, and we have our panel. Line one, the mouth of the south, what the fans want, what the fans need. Lee Piper, good morning.
Good morning.
Line two, broadcasting legend, and Mr. Brendan Telfer. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, Eamon. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, before we get into it, obviously, last Sunday the news broke that Peter Lester had passed away. Now, I have to say, like, I met Peter a few times, and I have to say, hell of a lovely, engaging guy. Always good to have, very knowledgeable, very approachable, and just a good bloke. Brendan, your thoughts on Peter?
Yes, I had worked with him at two Olympic Games. When I say worked with him, he and I were part of the same production commentary team at the London Olympics and the Rio Olympics in 2016. And I got to know him mainly prior to the Olympic Games through my work at Radio Sport, where I used him often as a yachting voice. Because he was so knowledgeable. He was a lovely guy. He was a very nice guy to travel with. I mean, he and I used to have a lot of breakfasts together, I think, in either London or Rio. I can't remember now because our work schedules, our commentary schedules were kind of similar. So we'd usually meet for breakfast. And I always enjoyed his company. His extraordinary knowledge. It was a terrible shock. You know, he was 70, I think, or 71 years of age. Always struck me as a fit, healthy individual. Looked after himself and struck down by, I think, some complications with his heart, and finally, I'm afraid it got the better of him, and he had a heart attack and passed away. So it was a terrible shock, and I know the yachting community is reeling. I've been talking to Jane Dent during the week, who had a lot to do with him, and she said it's you know, come as a huge shock. He's having a private funeral for his family, but there will be service as well, I think, coming up in the next couple of weeks, where people who knew Peter can attend this particular function in a few weeks' time. But yeah, very sad.
Lee, your thoughts on Peter Lester? You've had him on several times on your show. Your thoughts on Peter?
Yeah, we can't really add much to what Brendan's already said there. Just a hell of a good guy and easy to talk to and very approachable. And like Brendan, easy to have on the radio because he was so knowledgeable across it. And he had a great way of getting across to the public in kind of layman's terms, because we all became yachting experts. And, very few of us really understood, still very few of us really understand what the hell is going on. So, particularly, I think, during that halcyon era of what I call actual boat racing, I thought, the way that him and Pete Montgomery brought it to life for all New Zealanders, I think, was a great thing. And, it just came as a complete shock because he just looked like a very healthy bloke that kind of looked after himself. And so, 70's pretty young nowadays. So, a hell of a shock. And no doubt that the yachting community will be reeling, and quite rightly.
Okay, and I have to agree with you. They were a great commentary duo. Anyway, rugby starting 9:10 tomorrow morning. Love that time to watch rugby. All Blacks versus Argentina. Yes, there's been a few enforced changes, but pretty much a settled lineup for the All Blacks. I'm looking forward to this game. I think this game's going to be close. So I'm going to kick it off with you, Telf. What's your thoughts on this game?
Well, I agree. I look forward to every All Black match that they play, regardless of the opposition. I'm a little apprehensive about this particular match tomorrow on the basis of what we saw in those three test matches against France, now with a few weeks to look back on them and think perhaps a little more objectively about them. The best I can say is that the All Blacks were largely indifferent. Okay, they won. Fortunately, I suppose, for Scott Robinson, France had a less than full strength side here. And so we got away with three wins, but they weren't terribly convincing. The team that's been named for this test match tomorrow morning is, of course, from that squad. I think Scott Barrett's back, of course, from injury, and one or two others as well back in there. So it's the same team. I don't know whether it's this 15 that have actually been on the field starting together, but they're all from this All Black squad this year. So they will have to play a lot better than they did against France. Argentina has become an increasingly difficult team to beat at home. They've beaten the Springboks, they've beaten the All Blacks, and they've beaten frequently the Wallabies in Argentina. And, of course, a couple of months ago, they beat the Lions as well before they embarked on their tour of Australia. So they'll be physical, they'll be fast. There'll be a very noisy crowd there, and the All Blacks are going to have to lift their game. I think our forward pack should be able to match the Argentinians for sure. My reservations is about the incisiveness of our attacking qualities in our back line, and in particular the midfield. I mean, it depresses me when I think that since the retirement of Nonu and Smith, goodness knows how many combinations have been tried there, but none of them seem to have been able to produce that wonderful chemistry that those two guys and other All Black combinations down through the years have achieved in midfield. So we've got Jody Barrett, who seems to have added to the skills that he had for sure while he's been away playing in Ireland, and Billy Proctor. I'm not convinced of Proctor yet. He's only had, I think, three or four test matches, and most of those have been, I think, coming on as a sub in the second half. He doesn't yet seem to me to have the incisive qualities that you want from the three-quarter. Ioane's been tried there. He seems to have lost his mojo in the number 13 jersey. So, sure, our main attacking quality is still Will Jordan. He just keeps scoring tries, this guy, and he's going to have to score, I think, one or two at least tomorrow to make sure we come out on top against Argentina. But, as I said, I'm a little apprehensive.
Lee, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting... It's going to be a very interesting test. I think it's... Maybe Wallace Atiti coming in at 8, Savia at 7. But pretty much this is, I think, the best side that we've got. I don't think, when I look around and think who else is to come back in, I just don't see anybody that's an obvious play, as I say, potentially apart from Atiti. So if you have a look at that, then you've got to say, OK, so let's have a look at the performance tomorrow, because it will be a really good judge on where we're at. Now, I was actually out last night having too many Guinnesses, but... We were having a discussion again about it, and it was actually again there. I was talking to a very knowledgeable rugby man, and we were kind of having a chat about where we're at, and he brought up a point which I thought was valid, which was, I don't think you're going to see the All Blacks, no matter who we play now, you're not going to see us, unless it's like a very much a second tier nation, win or lose by a lot. We're not the dominant side that we were, so it'd be unlikely we're going to put, you know, 40 or 50 on Argentina tomorrow. We might win by a couple, we might lose by a couple, and I think Brendan's kind of alluded to that. But for me, it's going to be interesting, because I believe this is pretty much the best side that he can choose. Now, if the worst was to happen and we were to be beaten, not convincingly, but beaten, that will really open up a can of worms, because, you know, there's no doubt that South Africa are a different kind of a challenge when we face them in a couple of weeks, particularly that first test in Auckland. And so it'll be also interesting to see how we line up going into that. You know, do we play fire with fire? Do we look at a 6-2? And I know a lot of rugby programs have kind of gone, do we look at that 6-2 play? Do we look at someone like, I think it might be Leroy Carter, who can play halfback, wing, centre, so that we only have to have two back reserves and we can have six forward. So, you know, we can fight fire with fire a little bit if the South Africans bring on their bomb squad. So I think it's an interesting game for a lot of reasons. Brendan is right, obviously, as always with Brendan. You know, the Argentinians at home have been a different kettle of fish. They've constantly beaten Australia, to Brendan's point. They beat the Lions a couple of a month or so ago. They are very strong, and they will be strong tomorrow. So expect a very tough battle. You'd like to think the All Blacks would edge home in it. But for me, it's going to be, it'll answer a few questions about where we kind of are sitting in the rugby world at the moment.
Yep. Okay, so when we went also, so I'm going to keep with you, Lee. The netball exodus has begun to Australian clubs. We've up to four. Silver Ferns have gone to Australian Premiership clubs. We have a real issue with our competition. The exodus is going to keep on happening. You know a lot about, you've dealt with a lot of top netball players. You know the difference between the money between Australia and New Zealand. How big is this for netball and the current ANZ competition we have?
Well, I think what's been astonishing is how poorly reported it's been by everyone. Like, no one's actually talking about it.
We've been saying this for months, haven't we? We're the only ones who said it.
you're talking about a competition that's in complete disarray. To your point, there's basically a team that's exited. When you have a look at the likes of, and I hear there's other players to go, but if you hear the likes of Nowicki had already gone, Matty Gordon gone, Tobias Selby Ricket gone, Kate Heffernan gone,
Kate Jackson.
Kelly Jackson gone, rumours around other players are gone. That's a whole team. That's a whole team gone. So, yes, you could argue and say, okay, well, that's going to give other players an opportunity. Sure, but that calibre of player just ripped out of your main competition is huge. Now, the money thing is one thing, but as you know, I've got around 6 to 8 or 10 ANZ Premiership players. The money is definitely better. That's not the point. The point of why these players want to go is because they want to be better, and they think that that is by far the best domestic netball competition in the world, and that they will be better netball players for going and playing there. And that should be sending shockwaves. I kept a couple of players in New Zealand and convinced them, basically, because their Silver Ferns were on the fringe of Silver Ferns, and I felt, along with them, that their chances of cementing a place in the Silver Ferns was greater if they were in New Zealand. That's about the only card that Netball New Zealand have kind of got. Now they've come out yesterday and said, oh, well, you can have up to 2 internationals. That's not a rule. That's a reaction. And who? Like, you're talking about players that are quality players in Australia that can't get a go. I see Gina Crampton doesn't have a contract with the Giants this year. There's a whole lot of players that have not been offered contracts that we would consider to be very good netball players. So Australia are just creating this dynasty of domestic netball. We're now saying, oh, well, you can have a couple of extra, you can have an extra international player. But who? If you can't make the top 10 Australian teams, well, where do you kind of sit? And if you are an English player, are you going to go and try and play super netball in Australia, or are you going to come to New Zealand? So we're going to end up with maybe someone from Jamaica, maybe those second-tier Australian players that can't make it. Again, it was just a dumb thing to say, because we can all read this. They're not coming here. They're going there. But again, it looks like there's been a rumour right here, an $8.5 million turnaround, so they're not getting $8 million from Sky. And TVNZ are just basically saying, if you want it, we will put it on, but you need to pay the production cost, which I understand is between $500,000 and $750,000. The worst thing with all of this, just to finish, is we've known about this for ages. This has been signalled for the last 2 years. Everyone's known about it. The players have known about it. Netball New Zealand have known about it. And seemingly at the last moment, they're reaching out to funding organisations going, well, you need to look after us because we're netball. And those funding organisations are going, no. So they've only got themselves to blame. But the future, in summary, is bleak.
Your thoughts, Brendan?
Yeah, I've got a few other thoughts that I'll throw at Lee to see how he reacts. One thing that I think Netball New Zealand should pursue, and I might be way off course here in even suggesting this, is because this is such a successful competition in Australia, clearly the best domestic netball competition in the world, why wouldn't we want to have one team in there, or even two teams? The idea of having five like we had a few years ago was ridiculous right from the word go. We never had five teams or even four teams. But this competition is of a very high quality. They presumably would like some stage to extend it if it is being successful. And we've seen New Zealand teams, and Australian netball will be well aware of this, of the success that the Warriors have contributed to the NRL, to the Breakers, to the ABL, and of course the football teams to the A-League. So I think there is precedence there for Netball New Zealand to push hard to have at least one, if not two, New Zealand teams. Two might even be too many, I don't know. But if they want to extend this league, which I'm sure they will at some stage, wouldn't that be one very good solution for us, Lee?
Oh, 100%. I would have, well, I think there's a few things there. One, I would have as many teams as they would allow us to have. Two, I think at a very minimum, you would be wanting to go and say, look, let's get to a playoff. The top two teams from New Zealand, the top two teams from Australia, you know, one plays two, and you find the best Australasian, you find the best of the Australasian champion, the best club in Australasia. I think that would be something that would at least add, that would just at least add some spice to the competition. I also think what they should be doing is sitting down and effectively saying, okay, let's get some brains together here, some netball people, and whatever idea, let's throw it on the board. Doesn't matter how stupid it is, let's just throw it on the board and see what kind of ideas that we can, you know, come up with, because we need to do something. But it seemingly, they're doing nothing. But yes, Brendan, absolutely, I would have as many teams as they would have. And this was the problem when we got, and when the whole thing unravelled, it unravelled because the Australians wanted more teams, and Netball New Zealand said no. And that was the problem. You know, I would have given Australia 20 netball teams because they were killing us. So the more teams they had, theoretically, the lesser the talent. But we ended up getting carried away with our own importance, and it's bitten us in the bum.
I mean, it's rather like New Zealand Rugby League or New Zealand Football saying to their respective coach in Australia, oh, no, we don't want just one, two. We want two or three teams in the competition. They would tell us to go, you know, jump in the lake sort of story. And so netball doesn't have much to bargain with here with Australia. They might even have to get down on their hands and knees and say, look, you are doing an enormous disservice to the growth of netball in New Zealand by taking all our best players. But if you allow us to have a team or two in this extended competition, it'll probably be good for the look of the Australian competition, and it'll be good for us. But also, I think the idea of allowing imported players into New Zealand is a bit wimpish, to be perfectly honest. I think, as you alluded to, if you're a genuinely good international player, you'll be going to Australia. So Australia will take all the best players. So the only imports that we'll get, they might be better players of standards than what we have here in New Zealand. But the other thing Netball New Zealand have to do here, and I don't know how hard they do this, is they've got to drive really hard this kind of talent identification and development program of getting women or young girls who are playing netball at college to stay in this sport. There's got to be incentives there for them to want to stay playing the game competitively after they leave school.
Well, the problem you've got, Brendan, is that you're also telling them now, can you please take a 20% pay cut? Because we've had to, so you're going to have to. Now, they can't survive here. Even at the very top level, it's not enough. But they should be also going, okay, well, maybe we'll have a summer competition, a bit like they do with the A-League. Football had traditionally been a winter game. We're going to play it in the summer. Yeah. Maybe have it that our netball competition goes from at the end of the international season, so from, say, now, or right through to the end of the year, and then they could go and play in Australia so they could at least earn a living, potentially playing in two domestic competitions. So, there is lots of ideas that they could do, sitting on their hands and saying to players, you need to take a 20% pay cut, would not be top of the list.
Yeah, they've got problems, Netball, that's for sure.
Anyway, we move on. The Warriors, Brendan, and they had a very, very lucky win, but they got the win. That was the main thing. But, you know, they can say that they are now in the top eight. They're secured in there. I felt it was going to be like a 2013 America's Cup where we lose at the end. I'm happy that we're through. Just some of your thoughts on the Warriors, Brendan.
They're very lucky. They didn't deserve to win that match last night. There's making errors in a game, and then there's making errors in a game. And last night, the Warriors made an endless sort of list of... it take me all day to write them down, the mistakes and errors they made, but they made them also in the wrong parts of the ground. They made the errors when they were on defence, a couple of metres from their own goal line, and they made the errors when they were pressing at the other end of the field trying to score tries. So they managed to win it, and I suppose we have to give them some credit. They ground out an ugly win, and that's, I suppose, what good teams can do. They came good when it mattered. And yes, it's still possible they could even miss out on the eight, but I think it's highly unlikely. I think the teams 9, 10 and 11 would have to win all of their matches and the Warriors lose all of their matches. So they're back in fourth place. And again, they've got matches, most of their matches that are left, I think, are against teams beneath them on the points table, but they've been losing to these teams over the last month or so who are below them on the points table. So it's been very frustrating. But they came home with enough bacon last night, I guess, to have another full crowd there for the next home match. But, I was so stressed out at the end of that match last night. I thought, I don't want to go through this every week with the Warriors, but that's what they put you through.
Absolutely. Lee, your thoughts on the Warriors. But you probably were drinking Guinness at that stage.
Well, I'd actually fallen asleep. But, yes, no, I was... Well, I had to get through the poor Stags. who came from 22 Dell.
Yeah, yes. What a game that was.
Yes. That was actually a bit more exciting. But, yeah, look, I think the problem the Warriors have got is their depth is being very much tested here, and the underbelly's a little bit soft, I think, is what we've kind of got to. But, look, to Brendan's point, they gutted out, they got home, they banked the 2 points, they're inside the four.
Yeah.
Being inside the four is actually the key here. If they can stay inside the four, your pathway through, you know, you finish seven or eight, you're in poopy because you've got such a tough run and you're up against the best team. So, you know, they've got to try, to Brendan's point. They've got teams below them. You know, you shouldn't be losing to the likes of the Titans, particularly at home, and you just because you're gifting up points there. And so they've got to win those games that they should win. And then they've got to hope they get a few back from injuries. And then who knows, you know, if they manage to get inside the four or get a home semi-final, they're tough to beat at Mount Smart for sure. But they just look a little bit wobbly, and the wheels are just starting to wobble a bit. They secured them up last night. They've got a tremendous fan base who are just begging for them to do well. But, you know, hopefully they can kind of get it together.
Yep, and just on one last quick note, what do you guys think of the darts, Brendan?
I don't, because I haven't watched it. I haven't seen it, and that's about the only meaningful contribution I can make to this important subject. But I'm sure Lee will more than compensate for my shortcomings. I don't think I will, but what I do know is that they would drink a lot of Guinness there.
Look, I think it's a great event.
And, oh, it is fantastic.
You know, the fantastic, particularly at Christmas time, when you're again having a couple of Guinnesses and watching the likes of Luke Lindner and Luke Humphreys and Van Gerwen and Big Barney. You know, there's some household names there, and they're very. Look, I met a few of them a few years ago. They came out to New Zealand. I think that's what you're alluding to there, Eamon. They're out in New Zealand again. But, you know, tremendous. And I think the rise of Luke Littler has been a story in itself. The 16-year-old who came very close in his first championship and then won it, obviously, last time around. You know, he's added a dimension to it. It's a great spectator sport in that you can't see a thing when you're there because the dartboard's so small and you're just really looking off the screen. But I would say to your listeners over that if you want to go to a great event and get a few lads together and have a good time, it's a great time. It is a great time.
Oh, it certainly is. And I'll tell you what it does. It inspires short, fat guys like myself to be an athlete.
Yeah, I think you're drawing a long bow there, but you if that makes you feel better about yourself. Oh,
well. Apologies there, Brendan. Well, Brendan, thanks a lot. Good to have you. Good to hear your voice again, Brendan. And Lee, always a pleasure, not a chore. And hopefully we'll catch up soon, guys.
Okay. Good
cheers,
stuff.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Brendan. Bye.
Okay, that's us done for today.